Thank you, Ray. Good afternoon again, brethren. Good to see everybody. Pretty good crowd today. Unusual for times when I speak, but nice to see everybody anyway. I'm glad they had some water up here. Title of my sermon today is, What Does God Require of You? What does God require of you? That phrase occurs both in the book of Micah and the book of Deuteronomy. So we're going to look at that verse in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 13. And then we're going to examine that whole verse. Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. For your good. So let's look at each phrase of this verse. And the first phrase is, but to fear the Lord your God. Notice that this is a command to fear God. So fear has to be learned. We all have had to learn the proper fear and respect for snakes and wild animals. You probably have heard of cases where people have been feeding animals at the zoo and the animal grabbed them and mangled their arm. Your children have to be taught that they must learn about the dangers around the house. Stove burners are hot. They can't play with electrical outlets, many things like that. So we have to learn to fear God. But let's look at what kind of fear we need to have. Webster's dictionary defines fear in two ways. Oh, there's plenty of water up here. Thank you, though. You're a good man, McGee. There's a servant for you. Where was I? So there are two definitions of fear, of course. Number one is a feeling of alarm or disquiet caused by the expectation of danger, pain, disaster, or the like. Terror, dread, apprehension. To be afraid or frightened of or terrified. Now the second definition, of course, is extreme reverence or awe as toward a supreme power. When we first learn about God, we may fear him like the first definition of fear. We're afraid of losing our salvation. But as we grow in grace and knowledge, we then take on the second definition of fear, that of extreme reverence and awe for God. Let's look at Proverbs 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7. This is a scripture that's very familiar. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The theme of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom runs throughout the book of Proverbs. In order to have the right kind of biblical knowledge, we must have the proper fear of God. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13, we won't turn there, says to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Proverbs 14, verse 27, again, we don't need to turn there, said, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. Strong's Concordance gives a definition of fear as fear or revere. Webster's Dictionary defines revere to regard with awe, great respect, or devotion. Synonyms are worship, venerate, adore, sanctify, and idolize. To fear God properly, we need to have an attitude of reverence and respect towards God. Fearing God has good results. Let's look at Psalms 128, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 128, verses 1 through 6. Beginning in verse 1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Verse 4. This is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. In Psalm 145, verse 19, it says, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. How could we love God if we feared him like to the point of being afraid or terrorized of him, like you would of Adolf Hitler, for example? The proper kind of fear of God is to reverence him and to stand in awe of him. 1 John 4, verse 18, we won't turn there, says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We don't have to be afraid of God because God loves us. As it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now the next phrase of our verse says, to walk in all his ways. One of Webster's definitions of walk is to conduct oneself or behave in a particular manner, to live. The Complete Jewish Bible by David H. Stern translates this phrase as follow all his ways. Let's notice a few benefits of walking in his ways. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 5:33. Deuteronomy 5:33. Beginning in verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 9, says, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Let's turn back to Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now John 8, 12. John 8, verse 12. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 6, 4. Romans 6, verse 4. Romans 6, 4 says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 8, 1. Romans 8, verse 1. A few pages over. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 2. Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling aroma. Excuse me. Now, 2 John 1, 6. 2 John 1, 6. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. There are many benefits if we walk in his ways. Okay, the next phrase of this verse says, to love him. To love him. Let's go back to Romans 8:28, a very familiar scripture for all of us. Romans 8:28. And And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, 1 John 4, verse 20 and 21. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. First John 4, beginning in verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love, his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now 1 John 5, verses 1 through 3. 1 John 5, 1 through 3. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. To love God is to love our brother and keep God's commandments. How can we show our love to Jesus? Notice what Jesus said in John 14, verse 15. We don't have to turn there. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now John 14, 24. John 14, 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Did you notice that the requirement to love Jesus is the same as loving God? We must keep God's commandments. Let's look at Jesus and Peter's discussion of, do you love me? This is found in John 21, verses 15 through 17. John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Do you think Jesus asked him three times because he knew Peter was going to deny him three times later on? Something to think about. We find from this discussion an extra requirement to love Jesus. Notice the phrases, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Sheep refer to God's people. Jesus is our shepherd as it says in Psalm 23. We in the church are to feed God's people with God's truth and good spiritual food. We are to tend or care for the brethren. A lamb is a young sheep, or by analogy, a new convert in Christ. We are to preach the gospel and make disciples, as it says in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, and feed these young lambs with God's truth. We could interpret these verses as evangelism or preaching the gospel. All right, the next phrase of this verse says, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God wants us to serve him and not any idol. The second commandment forbids the use of visual portrayals of God in worship, or the use of aspects of God's creation as symbols of God in worship. Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5 says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Notice that you cannot serve God and riches. Matthew 6, verses 24 says that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There is nothing wrong with being rich or wealthy. Abraham was wealthy. He had many sheep, cattle, and servants. We must keep the right perspective and put God first. Don't let money rule your life. We must seek God first, as Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We must serve God in a right way with godly fear. Let's turn over to Hebrews 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So those who will go through the great tribulation and do not take of the mark of the beast will serve day and night in God's temple. Let's turn back to Revelation 7, verses 13 and 14. Revelation 7, beginning in verse 13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. So now the last phrase of this verse says, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. We have already read many scriptures pertaining to keeping the commandments. Keeping the commandments is a theme that runs from the beginning to the end of the Bible. Genesis 26:5 says, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Revelation 14:12, we won't turn there, says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now let's notice Romans 5, verses 12 through 14. Romans 5, 12 through 14. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. The commandments are part of God's character, and he wants them to be part of our character. God wants us to keep his commandments. God's commandments give us a framework of how to live righteously, lawfully, and fair. By keeping God's commandments, we can have a right relationship with God and our fellow man. Of course, the first four commandments tell us how to have a right relationship with God, and the last six instruct us how to have a right relationship with our neighbors, friends, family, and co-workers. God wants his commandments and statutes to be written in our hearts and minds. Now let's turn over to a very important scripture in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 32. Ezekiel 36, this is one of my favorite scriptures because it really sums up what it's going to take for us to be part of the kingdom of God. Ezekiel 36, beginning in verse 26. God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. Verse 30. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that are not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. So God will give us a new heart and put a new spirit within us. We reap what we sow. If we keep God's commandments, then we will reap many blessings. When we break God's commandments, then we reap the consequences of sin. The law is for our good. The law can help us, help convert us. David called the law perfect. Psalms 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Paul said that the law was holy, just, and good in Romans 7:12. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation leaves us with a positive thought in Revelation 22:14. Revelation 22:14. Let's start our conclusion here. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. God will see that we have the strength to overcome if we love the law of God. So in conclusion, brethren, let's remember what God requires of us. We must fear God. We must walk in his ways. We must love God, serve God, and we must keep God's commandments. Have a great Sabbath, brethren.